Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Rolene Marks joining us from Israel for the Israel Report. Rolene, a very, very good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. Always my favorite way to start my weekend.
Well, I'm very, very pleased to hear that. But oh my word, there is a lot for us to talk about. What an incredible, what a busy week it has been in Israel.
It has been a busy week, and it seems to only be getting busier. So many issues happening, so many things to unpack. You know, I always worry about those days when there is very little news, because I know that there will be something big happening. But lucky for me today, no worries, because there's just an avalanche of things. Happening.
Or can we just talk about Meshi Zahav? What is the situation there?
Well, the story with Meshi Zahav, and you and I broke the news just a couple of weeks ago on the Israel Report, these shocking allegations coming in from men and women who claimed allegations of sexual abuse and accounts of rape over a 40-year period. Now, Meshi Zahav, if you've ever understood his personality or his life story, has had quite a colorful life, starting, you know, kind of almost with an anti-state element, and then changing tracks to form this incredible, incredible organization, Zaka, who he has since stepped away from while these allegations are being investigated. And then news coming in of these absolutely shocking claims. Well, yesterday, news broke that Yehuda Meshi Zahav was found unconscious after allegedly trying to hang himself. He was found by one of his children, who called Magin David Adom. They managed to resuscitate him and take him to Shaare Tzedek Hospital. He is in a critical but stable condition. They think that there could be some serious brain damage that has been done. But yesterday, some controversy over what was estimated to be a suicide note. It was then claimed by the family that it wasn't a suicide note. However, later in the day, his intended suicide note was released, where he has claimed innocence, and he has said that he is not guilty of the charges made against him. And this comes just hours before a documentary last night on Israel's Channel 12, all about Meshi Zahav and the investigation into allegations of sexual abuse. And, you know, people in the Haredi community saying that, you know, this wasn't a secret in the community for many years, but very, very damning, very, very tragic all the way around. And you know, we have to be thinking as well, very much so, of the victims of his allegations in all of this.
It's such a difficult one, because I saw a lot of posts yesterday, and I'd love our listeners' view, I'd love everybody's view on this. A lot of people on social media saying, you see, this is what happened. He was tried by the media, he was tried by social media, and not in a court of law, and now he has tried to take his own life, which is almost like a consequence of that. I'm very, very torn about that, because he chose to try and take his own life. Was he driven to it? I guess that is the question. And I'd love people's view on it. Was the media too harsh around reporting these allegations? Should people have backed off until it went through a court of law? Rolene, what do you think?
Well, I tend to agree with some of those comments. I think that, you know, unfortunately, in many cases, you see trial by media and trial by the court of public opinion before we see trial of actual jurists. I mean, we've seen it earlier this week as well in the United States, where people opine on major cases before we've got verdicts through, before, you know, the evidence has been presented, which could impact you know, either side of the argument. And unfortunately, we do live in the world with this beast called social media, and everybody's an armchair general or an armchair legal commentator or went to the school of, you know, Facebook medical school. And it does become a problem, you know, this, which is why I've said so many times, you know, please consider sources, you know, be careful what you put out there, because it does have ramifications.
Do we know anything about his condition?
Just that he's still in a critical but stable condition.
Really, really, just a... And the terrible thing about it is nothing will be achieved, unfortunately, if his suicide is successful. It won't help the victims, and it won't help, and it certainly won't help his family. So it's just such a difficult situation. 34519 or 0618951019. I'd love your thoughts on that. Right, let's talk about a travel ban to 7 countries, including South Africa.
Yeah, so yesterday the Ministry of Health have said that they are issuing travel warnings to countries which they see with high coronavirus morbidity rates, as well as high levels of the outbreak of various variants. So some of these, and this is for both vaccinated and non-vaccinated Israelis who are looking to travel, the health ministry has said, please do not go to Turkey, India, Ethiopia, Brazil, Mexico, Ukraine, and South Africa. They've also said that unless you absolutely have to travel, we really don't recommend it. However, we have had some positive news coming in of the first bilateral agreement between Israel and the Bahrain, and that's for mutual recognition of green passports for those who are vaccinated. Of course, here in Israel, you only get a green passport if you're vaccinated, and quarantine-free travel. And this comes as Israel has been in discussions with the United Kingdom to have a green corridor there. And according to the UK Daily Mail, which of course you know is my Bible, Howard.
Absolutely. All of us.
For reasons not related to the news at all, but the UK have released a list of 17 countries that from the 17th of May people can visit, including the State of Israel, and we are in talks with Australia on this issue as well.
Right, a very, very strange one, a very strange one, just considering the low incidence here in South Africa. So it is a bit odd that South Africa is included in it, but Israel is not the only country, it's not the only country to have done that. In the meantime, though, it's been a week without masks outdoors. Is life getting back to normal in Israel? Well, I'm saddened to see that it is, given the clashes in Jerusalem.
Well, there is a sense of returning to normality. What I do find interesting is I'm still seeing quite a lot of people walking around with their masks outside. You know, there's still, I think, cautious optimism. That's in Modi'in. I think Tel Aviv could be a different story. But very, very concerning for all of us are the clashes happening in Jerusalem. And I want to stress there are between very, very extreme groups on both sides. They're between, you know, Arab nationalists that Hamas are egging on, and they're between and Jewish supremacists, and I am going to use that word deliberately. This is a group called Lahava. They are very, very extreme, and we are seeing these horrendous, horrendous clashes taking place in the capital. Several people have been injured. Police have been called in. Some police have been injured. But yeah, last night about 300 activists from this supremacist Lahava group clashed with Arabs, and at least 20 officers were injured in the clashes, including a mounted police officer who was hit in the face by a rock. And, you know, these are severe, severe injuries. We saw what happened last year with one of our soldiers who was struck in the head with a cinder block and who was tragically killed. But very, very horrible scenes coming from Jerusalem, not something to be proud of at all.
What precipitated this? Was there anything that triggered these demonstrations?
There have been a few little triggers that have been building up and building up over the last couple of weeks. Members of Lahava have been defacing property, you know, Arab property, trying to intimidate Arabs. We've had Arabs on the light rail slapping Jewish travelers, you know, religious Jews. This is part of some bizarre TikTok campaign that they're putting out there, and this is building up tension and building up tension, and it's really, really getting to a head. And you know, we had this a couple of days ago in Jaffa, in Tel Aviv as well. A rabbi made an inquiry about an apartment in Jaffa. We don't know what led up to it, but apparently he was beaten up by two Arabs who were subsequently arrested, and clashes broke out in Jaffa between Jews and Arabs as well. That hasn't been as near as bad as what we are seeing in Jerusalem between these extreme far-right Lahava activists, members of the Arab community, and I'm going to stress again, more extreme members of the Arab community, and also the police.
It's just incredible. I just keep thinking, this didn't occur, certainly not on this level, but probably not at all, really, during the COVID pandemic. Is this what Israel fought for, to be able to go back to this level of hatred amongst people? It to me, it is absolutely devastating.
Well, this is it. It's very, very, very devastating. And it follows, you know, just what we're always saying about social media and how dangerous it can be. And unfortunately, here we have this incident of these ridiculous TikTok videos. And all it's doing is it's fueling the flames of hatred with people who are in the far right extreme element. And they are acting out on this.
Really, really awful. Another bizarre story, and one that we've spoken about, but it's just, it's now leading further also to protests. And that is the situation in France. And that was following, and that is following, the court ruling around the murder or the killing of Sara Halimi. Can you just give us, anybody who doesn't know the story, give us the context here?
Sara Halimi was a French lady. Her neighbor reportedly saw a menorah on her mantelpiece and allegedly smoked some marijuana, and then came into her apartment, physically assaulted her and screamed Allahu Akbar and threw her from her balcony several floors, murdering her. This was in 2017. She was an observant Orthodox Jewish woman in her 60s, and he was supposed to go on trial. However, the French law says that if you are in the midst of a psychological breakdown, if you have psychological issues, or if you're high on drugs, then you can't be tried for the crime. And even the French president, Emmanuel Macron, he weighed in on it earlier this week. And very unusual for a president in a democracy to be critical of the justice system. You know, as we say in Israel, we're fighting hard to keep the government out of the Supreme Court. You know, in the United States, a lot of criticism over Biden, you know, giving his opinion, and one of the congresswomen, I think it was, giving her opinion before the verdict of the George Floyd case. And here we have a very unusual example of the president saying that he thinks that there needs to be immediate reform on this law, and that he stands with the Jewish community. And what's happened since is that the sister of Sara Halimi is pushing for a trial in Israel. I don't know how this is going to be legally feasible. I don't see how we can try a citizen of another country who's committed a crime in another country in our court of law, but I think it's an act of utter desperation on her behalf, you know, trying to look for any avenues to pursue justice. But what we do know is going to happen is that French-speaking Israelis are preparing massive demonstrations. Yeah, I think many people are going to join them.
It's going to be a particularly well-dressed demonstration, isn't it? the style.
It's going to be a well-dressed
I mean, there's a demonstration I would definitely want to see.
Very, very stylish, of course. Okay, and I have here, because I just Googled it, apparently criminal law in Israel can apply to crimes of anti-Semitism committed abroad when complaints are filed by Israeli citizens. And apparently somebody is filing who is an Israeli citizen living in France. So let's see how this plays out. But France does not extradite its citizens. So this is going to be interesting, unless we see that they for extradition, so that they can
Which would make no sense, really. I mean, obviously it's a complete travesty of justice that this has... That a person who smokes marijuana then could go to their neighbor and beat them up and kill them because they're Jewish and be protected from being tried for it. It is a horror, but it's still, even following that, makes no sense that Israel could extradite a citizen of another country to its own, it's just bizarre. I think
it is, but I think that the main criticism here should be leveled at the French justice system. I mean, you're almost giving a green light
absolutely
for people to use 100%. This as an excuse, especially as at a time when we see this rise in anti-Semitism in France.
Yeah, really terrible. And I do hope that you are going to go to that demonstration, and I hope that you are going to be appropriately attired. Brilliant.
Well, you know me, I would never miss an opportunity to,
absolutely,
to accessorize.
Right. Just quickly before I let you go, we've only unfortunately got around about half a minute left. I just want to hear very quickly about the plan for a green passport and quarantine travel between Bahrain and Israel, just because it's just such a phenomenal story.
Well, isn't this just a prime example of the fruits of a peace?
Mm-hmm.
This is the first bilateral agreement for mutual recognition for quarantine travel. And, we're looking at the United Arab Emirates and all the memorandums of understanding that we've signed there. Now we go to our next partner in the Gulf, and this was released by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. It's the first of its kind between the two countries, and actually represents what they're calling a global precedent for bilateral agreements on mutual recognition of vaccination certificates. So not only do we have this quarantine-free travel, we have Israel and an Arab country, who'd have thunk it, Howard, setting an example for the rest of the world.
Absolutely awesome. It is 8:00. This is Where We Love and Leave You, Rolene Marks. Have a fantastic weekend.